Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner with us as always to talk all things markets. University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
All right. Let's, before we get into the couple of reports that we have this week, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, if we start on the cattle side this week, live cattle were about 50 cents higher for the week. Those feeder cattle markets were anywhere from steady to $3 higher this week. On the futures side, the October live cattle futures contract was basically unchanged on the week, and the September feeder cattle contract was down $1.25. I think that was due in part to the 19 cent increase we saw in September corn futures this week. On the beef side, the choice box beef price gained $8.15. Pretty strong ribs and loins this week in that report. On the hog side, cash barrel and gilts were down $2.25 on the week. The October lean hog futures contract was up $2.15 on the week. And the pork cutout value lost $5.65 on what was some pretty good weakness in bellies this week.
We definitely have been seeing a different sort of trend as we look at both beef and pork wholesale values a little bit more so than we have been in recent weeks.
Yeah, so we've certainly seen that pork cutout value that's been flat to losing some across time, and yet that choice box beef price keeps moving up. And, you know, you only have to look at these relative to a year ago and see that we have choice box beef that's $1.17 above year ago levels, while the pork cutout value is only 41, I say only, is 41 cents above where it was a year ago. So a much stronger beef side that we've seen of late is certainly showing up.
All right, Scott, let's talk weekly slaughter numbers. Really a little bit of decline in both the beef and the hog side this week.
Yeah, that's right. If we start on the beef side for the week ending August 28th, USDA is estimating a run of 651,000 head of cattle. That's actually down 14,000 head from where we were a week ago, and down 3,000 head from where we were a year ago at this time. On the hog side, a run of 2.444 million head, get the right one there. So it's down 1,000 from where we were a week ago, so almost unchanged, but still 209,000 below where we were a year ago at this time.
Scott, I want to talk a little bit about the cattle slaughter number. We saw a little bit of decline. Are we getting concerned about labor issues and availability? Just especially as we've seen kind of a sluggish week in terms of business as well.
Yeah, so I think labor continues to be an issue here, and we might like to talk about larger runs of cattle, but hard for some of those plants to have enough labor to really be running at full capacity. And so I think that shows as well when you look at just what's been happening in those box beef prices as well. You know, so we've seen a lot of strength the last few weeks, and yet we're not talking about larger cattle runs. I think labor certainly has been part of that equation.
All right, one of the big reports this week, cold storage numbers came out. As we take a look at that, we continue to see tighter supplies.
Yeah, that's right, Megan. You know, you look at overall supplies, they continue to stay tight for beef. If we look there first, In at the end of July, beef ending stocks 401.3 million pounds. That was 8.8% below where we were a year ago. And it's 12% below where the five-year average was. Similarly, on pork, down 3.8% relative to a year ago. They came in at 443.1 million pounds. So continued tightness. The beef number really sticks out to me when we seasonally start to think about growing stocks. July came in very flat relative to where we were at the end of June. So no growth that normally we'd find typical for this time of year. On the pork side, pork belly stocks continue to be fairly tight. You know, last October, we were about 20 million pounds, and we're right now sitting about 29 million pounds of pork bellies and ending stocks. That's down 8 or 9 million pounds where we were just at the end of June. So expect that's going to continue to tighten as we look ahead, and even on the chicken side. So we and talk about total chicken stocks that are roughly 14% below where they were a year ago at this time. So all three meats and total meat supplies, certainly in a much tighter situation.
And it's interesting to think about it too. I want to say grilling season is slowing down. So does that potentially help? But then, I mean, folks are still cooking and we're in tailgate season and chicken wings and all of those things that we love to enjoy as we ramp up for fall and winter sports as well.
Yeah, you know, that's right. And I think, Megan, when you look at these overall stock levels that have been tight for a few months now at this point, I think it continues to point to, so not only maybe some weaker supply growth, especially in things like pork, where we haven't seen growing pork inventories, but we've also seen very strong demand. And I think the ending stock numbers are just kind of remind us that that demand side's been good here in 2021, and we're certainly not building up stocks.
Report out this week, mid-year U.S. and Canada cattle and hogs numbers. We're going to actually talk a little bit more about the Canada side of things as we take a look at that. What are you watching out of those Canadian numbers?
Yeah, so we typically think about, maybe Canada following the U.S. in terms of the pattern of change. And I think when you look at the cattle side of the equation, we'll look at beef cow inventory here this afternoon. Canada beef cow inventory mid-year was down 1.7%. You know, that's pretty close to our down 2% that we saw back on July 1. So to me, some of the drought in the western parts of Canada continues to be at play and causing that decline in beef cow inventory in Canada, similar to what's been happening in the United States. A little different story when we look at the hog side, and I'll just look at breeding hog inventory for a point of comparison. Canada's actually up 1.4%. If you think back to our breeding inventory, we were down 1.5% mid-year. So Canada moving in the other direction. I always like to remind us what's greater than 6 million head of breeding inventory here in the U.S. is a little more than 1 million head in Canada. So smaller numbers. So even though that percentage goes the other direction, we're talking about a pretty marginal increase. I guess I would say that seems like we're going to end up with more hogs coming to the U.S. from Canada to be processed, but both as supplies there increase as well as what's been a tightening processing capacity going on in Canada.
And interesting to see how drought concerns in their part of the country are playing out as well.
That's correct. I mean, we're all going to face, talking about the hog side, we're all going to face higher feed costs potentially. And I think when you realize where that drought is centered, basis might be more of an issue for some of them on the hog side, but similarly to what's been happening in the Dakotas in particular is where I kind of look, you know, that drought doesn't stop when you cross out of the United States into Canada.
Last report we're going to talk about, ag trade numbers from USDA came out and really some pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, that's right, Megan. You know, I talk about this all the time. So demand's more than domestic demand, and international demand has certainly been good. And you know, I for a minute just stay focused on exports. In FY 2020, USDA tells us we exported $139.7 billion of ag commodities. I use that as a point of reference just because they're now saying for FY 21, we're going to be all the way to $173.5 billion of ag trade. That's a record level for FY 21. I think livestock and dairy in particular have been helpful in terms of getting larger trade values. USDA raised that FY 21 estimate almost $10 billion from where they were in May. And again, I think due in large part to what's been some stronger livestock, poultry, and dairy exports out of the U.S. You back that up now with an FY 22 forecast now of $177.5 billion. So up $4 billion, another record is what USDA is projecting. Not the same absolute growth as we saw from 20 to 21, but FY22 still looks like a good number, and that's good news for us. On the livestock side, we need to continue to see exports growing.
And it's always impressive to see that we're growing exports in countries outside of big customers like China and Mexico and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so absolutely. So it's risk management, just like we might talk about for producers, but it's sector level risk management. You don't want to depend on one country, you know, too much for trade. That can get you in a tough situation. So finding some of that growth in some of these other countries is certainly helpful as well.
Scott, that'll do it for us this week. As we look ahead to next week, it looks like it's going to be a pretty busy Friday for us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we start the week with the Restaurant Performance Index. USDA actually gives us an estimate of farm income on Thursday, and then we finish the week with monthly trade data and a jobs report.
Sounds great. We will talk to you then.
That sounds good, Megan.
To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, go to brownfieldagnews.com. You can also submit questions and comments there. And if you're looking for something to listen to when you're in the cab of your tractor, truck, or combine as harvest starts to pick up in parts of the country, go to brownfieldagnews.com/podcast for some really great audio there as well. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.